Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Finding happiness with your job or career can be challenging at times, and maintaining marital bliss also requires a lot of work. But how do you create success with both when you work with your spouse? Can you blend business with your boo? Well, tonight, we're talking to a couple that has done it, and they're going to share how you can, too. We're talking to the lovepreneurs, Demetrius and Diane Walker. And if you want to talk to them, I'm sure you do. They have an interesting story to tell. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Demetrius, Diane, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Hola, Harold.
Hello, hello. We're so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great, great. Demetrius, I do have a disclaimer for you. I am not going to be responsible for anything that you say tonight on this program that will have you sleeping on the sofa.
Well, great thing, 15 years, and I haven't had to sleep on the sofa yet, so I'm sure we'll be okay.
that may say more about her than you, but thank you so much again. Let's get into the conversation. You know, Diane, I will start with you. What is Lovepreneurs, and how did you two start it? What's the story?
Lovepreneur was birthed through pain. As you mentioned, it is a difficult task to blend business and relationship. Demetrius was an entrepreneur when I met him. I graduated from Temple, you know, did the 9-to-5, corporate America, and realized that, you know, his lifestyle seemed a little more interesting than mine. I felt like a bird in a cage every time I went to work. So when I realized that, you know, I think I want to learn what you do and how you manage your real estate and how you manage your auto body shop, can I help? Can I be a part of it? And it took a little tug of war there. He invited me in and said, yeah, if you want to learn this, let's do it together. And that's when Lovepreneur came, trying to mix entrepreneurship while dating, and then seriously dating, and then engaged, and then married, and starting a family. That task was a little difficult, but definitely worth it.
Wow. Demetrius, from your perspective, when she asked you to participate in your established entrepreneurial dream, did it give you pause?
I was a little apprehensive about it. I mean, I never had anyone ask to initiate her core values and habits and patterns of her working. I felt like there could definitely be some good synergy that could be beneficial on both sides.
The whole Lovepreneur idea, how did that also become a part of your union? And what specifically is the whole Lovepreneur platform?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked. So as my wife spoke, it definitely came from pain. We realized that we were both two independently powerful people, and us coming together trying to figure out the dynamics of business and time, we did some research, we realized that we needed some additional help with this. We're very tuned into history and success, understanding that success leaves clues. We were looking for those clues, and we realized that there were none out there for this dynamic in a relationship. And so as we were going through our pain ourselves, realizing we were doing a lot of clashing and headbanging, and noticed there was no information out there, we realized that we had to be the sacrificial lambs and really take a deep dive and try to find some information that we could connect to our situation to lead us to a level of success. So in the midst of doing that, we were very intentional about making sure that this situation worked, understanding that it's going to be beneficial for more couples than just us if we are as intentional as we plan to be with it. So we were very intentional about it, And it wasn't even us trying to start Love Sonora. We couples just gravitated towards us. They saw the dynamics that we were operating under, and they wanted to know what was key about it. How are you guys making this work? And so before you know it, we had one couple that we were then, like, counseling and mentoring, and then that went into another couple. Before you know it, we've literally worked with hundreds of couples this far, and it's just been an amazing journey just to see the transition that we went through and also being able to help other couples come through it as well. And through building the Love to Know platform, we realized that you have relationship and you also have partnership. We were, like, trying to figure out which one do we focus on more, which one do we focus on first. We realized that your relationship is for your love. Your partnership is for your life and your lifestyle, building that business underneath that. So these are some of the key elements that we figured out as we put in the blueprint for Love for North.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to the Lovepreneurs. Can you create a successful business and love relationship when the two are combined? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dayani, what's the most difficult thing about being married to your business partner? And this is the reason why I ask, because most married couples, they have separate jobs. You know, he may work, you know, downtown, you may work uptown, and he may come home one day and he may say, you know, that woman at the office that's always getting on my last nerve. Well, she really got on my last nerve today. But in your case, he's talking about you. So, I mean, you know, can you go to HR when your business partner and your husband gets mad at you because of something that happened on the job?
Harold, I love this because we actually do have HR, and HR is our counselor. So we have a lifestyle where counseling is included in that. We have weekly counseling with certified Love Fellow counselors, and they get all in our business. So technically, that is our HR, but we make it a lifestyle and a priority that we invest in on a weekly basis. But the toughest thing for me, and it always has been, is making sure that I respect my husband. And it always hasn't been an easy task. Literally every level that we scale to, it's a new test for me on making sure I'm respecting my husband. Because I'm an alpha female. You know, I know what I want. I am very rigid. I'm very task-oriented. You know, I'm managing employees and making sure that I'm making sound decisions, and I have to roar in the boardroom. And one of my things is to my alpha females, it's okay to roar in a boardroom, but be a lamb at home. And it took me years to understand that it's not that he is silencing me or that I have to dumb myself down. It's simply that a man does not want a lion in the house. And understanding that there needs to be a balance. So that continues to be a struggle because I have to be, I'm always checked at a new level. Where it's like, okay, I know we just reached a new dimension, a new level of power, but I still got to bring it down and be soft and gracious with my husband.
So about that, because I've heard a lot of women say that when they are in the office, you know, at work during the day, particularly if they are managers or they are, you know, in the upper echelons of whatever business that they're doing, yeah, then they've got the alpha female, the manager hat on. But when they come home, they're a different person. But again, you two work together. So do you have to be alpha female for 27 seconds and then for the next 2 minutes, you know, be the loving wife, and then alpha female for 5 minutes. You know, I mean, how do you balance that in the relationship when you two are dealing with the business? It sounds really complex.
It can get a little complicated. I have managed to be bipolar intentionally. And it's really for the benefit of the relationship. I understand the cost. I mean, I have to give up something and gain something. And ultimately, if we're having, let's say, a business meeting, he knows my game face is on. So he understands that right now, my wife needs to be who she is for this meeting and to accomplish the goal, whether we're negotiating a property price or, you know, I'm speaking to a potential seller of a home, whatever the case may be, he knows I'm in beast mode right now. And he graciously gives me that space. And then whether we're then going to dinner afterwards together, it's him and I time or date night, that has to get turned off. Another difficult area where I have to create that balance would be, you know, we were out all day working, and all of a sudden, you know, it's just him and I and no one else is present. Just shutting it off, just knowing when to shut it off. And to my entrepreneurs, just think of it this way. You know, you have a business and you're, you know, there's a customer that came in. You know, the way you will speak to the customer is not necessarily the way you are managing your employees. You know, your voice tone changes. You know, what is correct, or how do I approach this so that there is a ROI from it? Another example, you know, which tension happens, let's just say, you know, my husband, which this can happen a lot more often, is, you know, he may not have met a deadline because he has so much going on. And obviously, it's like, well, I needed that piece of the work in order to keep going, you know. So there's a difference. I'm not talking to an employee. I'm talking to the other CEO. You know, I'm talking to the VP. And I can't necessarily talk to him as an employee. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, I have to change my tone. I have to change my delivery to know I am speaking to him, to my husband, whether for that business, because we have multiple businesses. So, you know, whether he's the president of that particular business or he's the VP of that particular business, because there's some businesses that I manage and I'm the one that runs it. And then there's businesses that he manages and he's the one. He's the front line. He's the one that runs it. And I'm his helpmate. So it really depends on just understanding the role. And that's actually something we talk about in our 12 commandments. We have a devotional, the 12 commandments to love entrepreneurs. And these are the 12 secrets. After the hundreds of case studies that we have and continue to have, that case study, the amount of couples that we have in the case study continues to grow, we continue to get more and more information. But these 12 commandments seem to be consistent. And the number one is knowing your role, which is what you're referring to right now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you identify this role? How do you stay in your role? And how do you still get to grow and be who you are within the relationship in your role?
Wow. Well,
you have to understand the benefits of it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to the lovepreneurs. We're talking about creating a successful business and marriage all rolled into one. The challenges, the successes. How is that done? If you have a comment, if you have a question about combining marriage and business, who's going to be the CEO? Who's going to be the CFO? The vice president? We're going to get to all of it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are going to take a break. But look, don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast, including this one, on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, stay with us. We're taking your calls next all the way up until 8 o'clock. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back with this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about blending business and Marriage tonight with Demetrius and Diane Walker of the Lovepreneurs. They have successfully done it, and they're trying to teach others how to do it. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Annette calling from D.C. Annette, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So I wanted to ask, I'm listening to the conversation, and I hear that the couple on this with you, they started a business, and they, it sounded like the husband had the business first and the wife added on. So I was trying to see if they had counseled any couples that you both have two alpha people, alpha male, alpha female, pretty much, and that it's pretty much the alpha female had the business first and the alpha male is like adding on. And it seemed like it was a little bit of a different dynamic because of that. I just wanted to see, have they encountered like a more example like that? And if so, were there any like strong differences?
Demetrius, I'll let you take that one.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we've had plenty of couples in that situation. And initially what happens is a lot of times you as the, let's just say you're the alpha female and you're gung-ho about the business. You've already had experience and expertise in the business. And, you know, you're bringing your partner into the business. A lot of times you will want them to operate at the level that you're operating on and not remember what it was like at the beginning. And understanding that there are different smaller challenges that you may want to give your spouse in order to kind of catch up and not just dump everything on him at once to get caught up with the business. Another thing that's very important is inviting him into a community of other couples that are doing the exact same thing. Because what happens is a lot of times with a male, you know, pride and ego gets in the way. It's like, okay, you want me to submit and listen to you and do what you say do, but it's something different when they're able to see someone else in that same dynamic and see how success has happened. Because initially, you guys are like at the beginning of the situation, or even if it's not the beginning, he may not have never been confident enough that his role is as important, or he could catch up to maybe the level that you are in the business. So sometimes it's important for him to see other men that have had that same dynamic and what true success really looks like under that dynamic.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Annette, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rafiq calling from Lanham, my hometown. Rafiq, what's on your mind?
A couple of things, brother. First thing I want to say about this entire conversation, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to talk about the alpha male and the alpha female, but that kind of thing, because I think that reminds me of materialism. If you love your queen and she loves her king, that's the important thing, first things first. Now, I wasn't sure where the conversation was going to go because I have worked before with my wife. She wasn't a queen. She was a wife. And we were both workers and not supervisor, manager, and president, that kind of stuff. So I think the dynamic changes when one or two of you all are in charge, vice president, vice president, or secretary, or, I mean, you know, the upper-level management, because the respect and understanding is different when you don't have to answer anybody because you are the answer to any questions. Now, if you're working for somebody and they have the answer, then I think your conversation with the husband and wife is a little different.
Okay. Diane, what do you think about what Rafiq is sharing?
I agree with that. I think that, you know, what I hear is that there's different levels, and this is true. But I would say that based on our case studies and couples, these 12 secrets could apply whether you are in a career-based lovepreneurship where you don't necessarily own the business itself, but you guys are both working that business, these 12 commandments still stand the same, knowing your role. Because ultimately, everyone has to answer to somebody. You know, and even in the midst of us as entrepreneurs, in our mentorship program, we're all learning from each other. And we're all literally masterminding on what next. And you find... now kind of answering to each other and to us and who's accountable to them, because you have accountability partners. So although I do agree with you, Rafiq, I 100% agree with you. I think that the dynamic could work either way with these 12 secrets because they apply regardless. Because ultimately, even though my husband and I own these businesses together, we feed off of each other's feedback. We respect each other's feedback. We respect each other's opinions. And, you know, if he has some kind of vision or disagrees with something, we don't move forward until we both are in agreement. So we're not, and then that's another thing which brought it up to me, and I'm glad you said this. We don't submit to the person. We submit to the mission. So if there's no mission, there's no submission. And I think sometimes we get lost in that too, that it's about the person, but it's greater than that.
Rafiq, thank you so
much. And I'm not trying to dominate the whole company.
Real quick, go right ahead.
I think, hold on a minute.
Okay.
I think you all had that dynamic before you got into the business, because I think you have to have a love relationship and a respect for each other first. Then anything, building a foundation, build a strong foundation, anything can blossom off of that. But my concert, and I came on tail end of it. I didn't realize that you all were partners in a business. Because if you were working for HUD downtown, and your supervisor was George, and his supervisor was Sue someplace else, the understanding of how you handle each other in that relationship would be different.
Right.
Because
yeah.
You're not calling the shot. You're being told how to do those things.
No, they both are calling the shots. And,
exactly.
And I think that's the important point. But Rafiq, thank you so much for sharing.
Take
I
care.
Appreciate
your... God bless you both and be strong.
Sure
thing. You're doing what you're doing. It's working.
Thank you
so much.
Harold, can I mention something? Because he
Absolutely.
Really is mentioning some really good points
sure.
That a lot of people don't address. But another thing, too, is as we're growing this, we understand that we have strengths and weaknesses, and we go off of that. Our slogan and what we tell our lovepreneurs, especially those that are dating right now, focus on building together a business. Don't necessarily focus on the love aspect. And I know Rafiq said that, and I know that's a common thing, and I know I'm kind of throwing the edge sword in what's like the thing to do. You have to fall in love first and then build. My husband and I didn't do that. We build first, and then love came. And we didn't intentionally do that. It happened that way. My husband was very involved in his business, and I saw that pattern, that hustle in him, and I loved that. And I fell in love with that and what that can look like before I actually fell in love with him.
So let me ask you about that, because I want to make sure that I'm clear. Did you first couldn't want to connect with him as a business partner and not as a romantic interest?
No.
Okay.
No, originally we connected at all levels. You know, physically, this is the right person. I didn't know and understood his business while we were dating.
Right, so that's what I mean, because it sounds like you were saying the reverse. It sounds like you were saying that you didn't want to, you said connect with the business first and the love will come, but it sounds to me like the love came first, and then after you two fell in love and were romantically involved, that... you wanted to become his business partner. Is that correct?
So I think where the disconnect is that there was a romantic relationship and falling in love are two different things.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So there was a romantic relationship as we were building. When I realized that he's an entrepreneur, I'm like, I like that. At this point, I wasn't in love with my boyfriend at the time. We weren't even boyfriend and girlfriend. We were just seriously dating.
Okay.
Very attracted to each other, romantically involved, all that good stuff, the bells and whistles. But there wasn't an I love you, and there wasn't a you're my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend, we're exclusive. You know, there was interest there. We can actually make something of this. You know, we were dating. And
okay.
We decided, I was still in corporate America. I decided to walk across the street to a bank, take out $10,000 and say, I heard you talk about the next investment opportunity that you and a few of your other business partners are doing. I want in. This is before I told him I love him.
I see. Okay. So here's my question about that. What do you recommend for... Do you recommend that couples who are dating become business partners? Because, because Demetrius, you all could be dating and, you could have some great business ideas and then, dudes don't always have the best record of having their stuff together.
100%.
You invest in this blipty blip or whatever it is that you put together, and she's tripled her money, but you're not texting her when she wants you to text, and she didn't get any flowers on her birthday when you did. What do you say, Demetrius?
I'm gonna give it to my husband, but really quickly, one of the things that we tell entrepreneurs that are dating, right? They're in the process of dating, testing the waters. You date patterns, not potential. Now, this is just for my entrepreneur people. If you are an entrepreneur, this is for you. You date patterns, not potential. And this will eliminate that issue because you know the habits and the patterns that you're getting into. You get familiar with it. And that's how you do avoid having that happen to you, what you're speaking of.
Okay, yeah, that's very important. I mean, people will lie to you, their patterns won't. Uh-huh. And that's what you need to connect to the most. So if you're thinking about, okay, yeah, should we start a business together first? Well, you're starting a business with their patterns. What do their patterns look like? How do they handle their finances, their credit, the people in their lives? Like, you really want to study that first before you make any decisions. And I'll be honest with you, even if you're not an entrepreneur, you still want to make sure that you study the patterns of a person before you even get into a romantic relationship with somebody, because those patterns will lead you to either success or failure. And so you want to make sure that you identify those areas about a potential partner before you get involved with them in business or in relationship.
Mm-hmm. Demetrius, Rafiq said, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. I would argue that compromise, compromise, compromise is the more operative word. What do you say?
I say they're both important. Anyone that doesn't, especially in an entrepreneur dynamic, anyone that does not understand, here's the two sides to that, understand and respect sacrifice, will never, ever be the person that you can honestly, truly build with. They will hold you back. And we tell people that are dating, it's very important to recognize, because you can either be in a relationship and date a seed or a weed. You may ask, what do I mean by that? A seed understands the process of growth. A weed understands the process that they come to kill, steal, and destroy. So you want to make sure that you are getting in a relationship and building your business and relationship with a seed rather than a weed. We can grow together as a seed, but as a weed, all you're going to do is tear down everything that I'm attempting to build.
Oh, I see. You said seed as in S-E-E-D or a weed as in W-E-E-D.
Correct.
Yeah, there you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking to the Lovepreneurs about maintaining a successful marriage and business partnership all rolled into one. Okay, so help me a little bit, Diani, with some of the 12 commandments. You don't have to give me both tablets, but give me a little bit from these commandments. What are they?
So number one is know your role. And in order for you to be able to know your role in the relationship, in the dynamic, you have to have self-identity and know yourself. You have to know your weaknesses, your strengths, so that you know what you're bringing to the table. And then when you bring those to the table, number two is be a team. In order for you to be a team, you have to have the mindset that I'm not here to compete, but I'm here to complete. Number three, it's about forgiving and letting go. You cannot, this dynamic won't work if you're the one that's petty and always, you know, if there's an issue, you're going to take it in and you're not going to forgive. You have to quickly find the solution to whatever the problem may be. You have to be solution-based, and you can't just hold your feelings. Another good one, date night. We're really big on date night. Number nine, communication. It's a huge one, how to communicate effectively. And another one of my favorites is being around other like-minded couples. And that's the reason why we build the community, because there's not a lot of us. And in order to be able to understand this dynamic and get the support of this dynamic, you have to be around other like-minded couples. So this community offers that, offers the resources, the support, and the exposure that you need to be able to help you for the following week to just keep you going in your business, is also in your relationship. It's really easy to give up on something that you don't see often and you're not exposed to all the time. Yeah. So when you log into these calls and you go out to date night with other like-minded couples, and you realize, oh my God, I'm not the only one going through that. And that's also a struggle for us. What did you do? It becomes your norm to fight for this because it's worth it.
Yeah. I often wonder, on the other side of this, because you both spoken about, you have, the business side of your relationship and you have the marital side of the relationship. But Demetrius, if you didn't take out the trash like she asked you to, or you were supposed to get the oil changed on her car because she was at a meeting and you didn't do it and she's mad at you, how does that impact? She's mad at you. You may not be on the sofa, but she's on the other side of the bed. But the next day, you both have a meeting, and she's still mad at you. How do you all manage that when you've got a business meeting?
That's a very good question, and we get that a lot. We manage it by just trying to communicate as best as possible, which is one of the biggest downfalls of relationships and partnerships, the communication piece. That's what a lot of couples struggle with. So being able to communicate, like, okay, I didn't take the trash out. Well, what was I doing that I didn't get to take the trash out? If you're able to communicate what you were doing that may have been more important than the trash at the moment, then, your partner can understand, okay, now I understand why you didn't take it out and not be mad. But let's just say, she didn't understand why I didn't do it, and she is upset. We have to communicate and sit and talk about it and find out what happened and realize that there are going to be times where you're going to be let down. By nature, if you're in a relationship with somebody, everybody's not going to hit on the nail on the head every single time. So understanding that there's a bigger picture, that what we're doing, our mission for being in this relationship together with each other and building business together, there are going to be times where other things do take precedence over certain things, but just being in communication of why the switch or why the change, and understanding that you're in a relationship with a seed and not a weed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to do things that are going to tear our relationship down. Anything that I'm doing is definitely to uplift what we are building.
So, Diani, other than going to get a lawyer, how do you advise couples with successful businesses but failing marriages?
Come into the community. I mean, again, we have this ecosystem where not only are coaching on how to bring both love and business together, but we also have certified counselors in the community that helps you mend that marriage, at least to spark up, start the conversation where the division started. A lot of times the division starts because there is a line that has been drawn where there's now separation. And what we call that is you start first with a vision, right? You have a business, you have a vision. This is what you want to do for you and your family. All of a sudden, you have two different visions. That is the vision. And what happens with the vision, if you don't mend the two and bring it back into one vision, that the vision causes divorce, separation. So what we try to do is avoid that process, and I have to learn what did that look like. And a lot of times it's because there's two different visions in the homes. There wasn't enough communication. They outgrew one another because they did not invest in themselves personally as individuals and as a married couple in this relationship. They instead invested most of their money in their business, through their business, instead of also investing in their relationship so they can grow their relationship simultaneously.
Demetrius, what's the biggest mistake that you two had to deal with and learned from in this business marriage relationship?
Biggest mistake we had to learn from is being able to put our pride and ego to the side. And I'm going to say that on both sides, for my wife and myself as well. We understand that pride is the birthplace of poverty. So pride will automatically take what you built and take it down and tear it down. So your pride and ego normally marry each other. So I'm looking for my bride, not the pride of my partner. Mm-hmm. And as long as we both understand that and come into an agreement with that, chances are we'll be okay. So pride is the biggest mistake that couples bring into a relationship, not knowing when to put it down, understanding that let me respect the strength of my partner if they're stronger in that area. And for my partner to understand my strengths and respect me in that area, that's one of the biggest problems we had early on. And we were able to identify the answers and the solution to that. And it didn't make things perfect, but it definitely made things a lot better.
Can you tell me what happened? Do you mind?
Diani,
I want you to tell me. I heard that giggle. I want to hear it from her.
Permit's a good one. So my husband is a real estate developer.
Okay.
And we have properties in Philadelphia and in Miami. So in Philly, when we first started off, this is when my husband first started. He was rehabbing properties at this point, and we had to go downtown to the municipal building and get licenses, right? So I would always tell him, it's a man up there. Let me go up there. I probably can get it faster instead of having to wait 30 days. He would say, no. You know, I'm the man. This is what I got to do. I'll do it.
That's how he sounded. This is the man.
<That's>
Go ahead.
And it went on for a while, and he would have to wait 30 days, or he would have to come back the following week for it. And I'm like, dude, like, just let me go up there. If it's a guy, I'll have a way of just trying to convince him otherwise. Finally, I don't know what made him fold. He folded. I went up there, and it happened. And I literally walked out of there with the permit in my hand.
Wow.
And he remembers it to this day. It's like, see, I told you. And since then, we are very strategic on how we handle people. And that's when we realized, wow, our strengths and our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
We have to submit to the mission, not the person. Because ultimately, if you're great at that, this is not gender specific. This is goal and strength specific.
Do you believe that the success of your business has contributed to the success of your marriage? Or do you believe the success of your marriage has contributed to the success of the business?
So for us, everything is, we see everything as a muscle. The more we exercise it, the stronger it becomes. So I would say simultaneously, I mean, we definitely focused on more business first, understanding that finances is a big problem in a lot of relationships and why a lot of couples split. So being able to put yourself in a certain position, I mean, we understand which one lasts longer, to be honest. Love is not around every day. So we can focus on building and putting ourselves in a certain position. Even though I was an entrepreneur already, I was involved in real estate and cars and things before my wife came, but understanding that there needed to be a certain security even for her, being as though she's been in 9-to-5, you know, her whole work life. So there had to be a level of security for her, understanding that she could do certain things even if I were no longer around. Let's just say we never did get married. She was able to come in and identify some things and learn the entrepreneurship world. So she would be good either way, with or without. So that's something that I would say is very important.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know that one contributes to the success of the other, because we're very purpose-driven. So it has been able to work simultaneously. But what I would say is that not every business venture worked out, and it didn't affect our marriage, because we're, again, very purpose-driven. So if this didn't work, it's okay. It's not a no, it's a delay. Let's move on to the next thing. So if one had to do with the success of the other, we would fail at that one simply because the other one failed, and that's not the case. Our love, our relationship is very important. We invest in our relationship as equally as we do in our businesses. There's a stat that was done by, that was posted in the Journal of Psychology, you know, where married people, when they support each other's dreams, goals, and visions, their personal net worth increases by 77%. So when we saw that that tied into my personal net worth, if I also invest in each other, we invest in each other, then it's just worthwhile, and it does work out simultaneously. I get my personal net worth, and I get my ROI back from our relationship and from our business simply by just investing in each other.
Now, you two are parents. What impact does being parents have on the overall model that you have for this marriage business relationship? Demetrius, I'll start with you.
Absolutely. It has been great. Our children are 7, my son's 7 and my daughter's 10, and they are adopting this entrepreneurial independency journey very early on. Like at 7 and 10 right now, I mean, we're not those parents, but let's just say, God forbid, my wife and I had to go away and there was nobody that could watch our children for a month. Our children at 7 and 10 are equipped that they could take care of themselves. They could still do school, do their work. They can feed themselves. They wash their own clothes. They dress themselves. They bathe themselves. They could go to the store. They know how to operate their cars. They have credit cards at that age. They could buy what they need to buy and feed themselves. They know how to cook. So we practiced, we understood how important it was to make our children independent early. Like earlier than the average parent would probably believe kids should be independent, because we realized the longevity, again, understanding the muscle, the more you use it, the more you exercise it, the stronger you become at it. We don't want our kids to be 18 and now just learning how to be independent and be able to fend for themselves. So being in this world of entrepreneurship and fighting through all the battles we have, we understood the value of making sure that our kids understand the value of entrepreneurship, independency, and being able to make things happen and not wait on other people to make it happen for you.
Diani, I only have about 2 minutes or so left. I'll let you have a final word, some final thoughts about couples who are considering going into business together, who are married or considering getting married. What's your final thought?
What I would say is that you're not alone. A lot of times I tell entrepreneur couples or those that are dating, come out the closet, because you're not alone. It's not perfect. It's not glamorous. I know, unfortunately, social media, Instagram has all these cute little couples jumping around, dancing every day, and that's how their life is every day, hugging on each other. As an entrepreneur, life is not like that. It can get hectic. It can get a little gang-related at the house. We understand that. And the thing is that do not let that cloud you, that your relationship is messed up, no one will understand, we're not perfect, it won't work. That's not true. You just need the systems and principles put in place to allow you and your partner to succeed, not only in your relationship, but in your business. But you need to allow someone in. So come out the closet. Let us meet at the table. Join us. Text us. There's a text number you can text LOVE completely free. And come onto the community and just talk to other like-minded couples that are going through what you're going through. It's not worth dividing your business in half that you've been fighting for simply because you have no idea if your relationship can work or not.
I must say that I have absolutely enjoyed talking to both of you. I'm so happy for both of you in your success in business, your success in marriage, your success in parenting. Keep doing the daggone thing. I really appreciate you spending some time with us.
We appreciate you for sure.
Demetrius and Diani Walker of the Lovepreneurs.
Woo-hoo.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, September 8th. I'm Harold Fisher.